Our big tech overlords are getting exactly what they lobbied the federal government for, which is minimum AI regulation, maximum AI grift. And in fact, the tech executives now say that even though they won't stop vacuuming up all the hardware and sequestering it away so that consumers can't get it, they actually have too much of it. That's right. Here's Microsoft's CEO.
Biggest issue we are now having is not a compute glut, but it's a power. And it's sort of the ability to get the builds done fast enough close to power. So if you can't do that, you may actually have a bunch of chips sitting in inventory that I can't plug in. In fact, that is my problem today, right? It's not a supply issue of chips. It's actually the fact that I don't have warm shells to plug into.
Don't you just hate it when you have like too many $80,000 GPUs and a bunch of land? Meanwhile, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang says that not only are AI weapon systems and the people who design them unfairly vilified, but so is energy?
Without energy, how do we build chip plants, computer system plants, and these AI data centers? We call them AI factories, chip factories, supercomputer factories, and AI factories. They all require energy, every single one of them. Yeah. How do you do that without energy? And so the fact that we vilified energy for so long, President Trump sticking his neck out and taking it on the chin and helping the country realize that energy is necessary for our growth is one of one of the greatest things he's done right off the bat.
Now, you might have had trouble understanding him with all of that gargling he's doing, but he's actually saying that energy is vilified. That's right. Ever since Newton, we've known that energy is the villain. In fact, it's his fourth law. An object in a data center exists in two constant states of matter. Good and evil. So unless Juan is talking about bringing coal and oil online to power Gemini's next Elmer's glue-inspired pizza recipe, we're not sure who this energy boogeyman is. Normal people have been pushing for access to renewable energy for decades now. But other than death and taxes, stonks go up is the other global constant of life. And that's in spite of the fact that AI is spreading misinformation on social media, promoting propaganda, inflating your electricity bill, and polluting the environment. To comment on this, here's OpenAI CEO and man caught using his own software for gooning on the company computer so he has to retroactively pretend it was for R&D purposes, Sam Altman.
I'm very worried about a 50-state patchwork. I think it's a big mistake.
The government says it wants to, quote, make federal lands available for data center construction and construction of power generation infrastructure for those data centers by directing agencies with significant land portfolios to identify sites suited to large-scale development, end quote. Which, as we understand it, would mean moving land owned by the people of the United States to private data center corporation ownership instead. It also wants to, quote, expedite environmental permitting, end quote, by, quote, reducing regulations promulgated under the Clean Air Act, end quote, and the Clean Water Act. So, great. That's good. It doesn't really matter what you think of climate change. I think we can all agree that breathing and drinking poison, undesirable. And especially when it's for purposes of whatever it is Google, Gemini, and ChatGPT are trying to do. It just doesn't seem like a very good trade-off. But the federal government now is waging a shitpost Twitter war against states for AI regulation. And because the U.S. and Congress can't figure out how the fuck to regulate AI, which definitely has nothing to do with the fact that the median age for a Senate is 65 years old. I mean, technically it's 64.7 now because some of them died, but that really just kind of proves the point. Look, the point is, no one knows how this stuff works in office or how to rule on it, so states are taking AI regulation matters into their own hands. Now, the executive branch and the corpo donors who give to it don't like that. So today we're going over the clusterfuck that is AI regulations and states' rights as it relates to AI buildouts and data centers in the United States. If you live in the US, chances are that your community will be directly impacted by at least one data center, seeing as current estimates project 3,000 new data centers under construction in the US, including hotspots in DC, Texas, Georgia, Arizona, and states bordering the Great Lakes, with their easy access to water. Let's go over what's happening. GNCA is thus far fully funded, without third-party sponsors embedded in the videos. This video is brought to you by our brand new gray project and soldering mat that we just launched on the GN store over on store.gamersaccess.net, joining our red, green, yellow, and blue soldering mats. These high-quality, ultra-durable silicone mats are extremely heat-resistant and excellent for all kinds of projects, from soldering electronics to model building and miniatures painting. The mats offer a large work area with screw sorting trays that we've molded into the silicone in our 3D software designs, screwdriver, paintbrush, and pen holders, spool holders, and even electrical schematic diagrams molded in 3D. The new gray mat brings a light gray work surface that makes it easy to locate commonly black and silver screws while also blending into just about any environment. This is a brand new color formulation for us and was designed to match our Retro IO coaster pack on the store, which has a floppy drive coaster included using a similar light gray color as a throwback for the front panel of the computer. Head over to store.gamersaccess.net to grab one of these brand new Project and Soldering Mat colors, or of course you can grab one of our existing colorways for it. These are in stock and shipping now. Here's what happened. On December 11th, the White House signed an executive order that would try to create a national framework and prevent U.S. states from imposing their own AI regulation, with the White House proclaiming efforts in the name of maintaining U.S. dominance in AI. A few days prior, on December 8th, U.S. President Trump posted on social media saying, quote, "There must be only one rule book if we are going to continue to lead in AI. One rule book to rule them all. One rule to find them. One rule to bring them all and in the data center bind them." Wait, no, that's not right. The post continues and interstitches some capitalization that we're going to accurately portray now. "We are beating all countries at this point in the race, but that won't last long if we are going to have 50 states, many of them bad actors, involved in rules and the approval process. There can be no doubt about this. AI will be destroyed in its infancy." Oh no, not destroyed in its infancy. Quote, "I will be doing a one-rule executive order this week. You can't expect every company to get 50 capital A approvals every time they want to do something. That will never work," end quote. Now, regarding the line that says, quote, "You can't expect a company to get 50 approvals every time they want to do something, that'll never work," end quote, that's largely how it works when it comes to health insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, property insurance, the sale of alcohol, some state-level data privacy laws, things like that. But this executive order plays right into the hands of the big tech company executives' desires. Earlier in December, NVIDIA CEO and White House globetrotter Jensen Huang stated,
"State-by-state AI regulation would drag this industry into a halt, and it would create a national security concern as we need to make sure that the United States advances AI technology as quickly as possible. A federal AI regulation is the wisest."
Now, we put this into our Google Translate tool to convert from corpo greed speak to English, and we found that the phrase, quote, "We need to make sure the United States advances AI technology as quickly as possible," end quote, means we need to make sure we get paid as quickly as possible. This echoed what OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said in May, and not the thing he said about the fan fiction part from OpenAI.
I think it would be quite bad. It's very difficult to imagine us figuring out how to comply with 50 different sets of regulation. And in many of these states, there have been, you know, dozens of different bills proposed that I understand several of which could be passed. That will slow us down at a time where I don't think it's in anyone's interest for us to slow down. One federal framework that is light touch, that we can understand and that lets us, you know, move with the speed that this moment calls for, seems important and fine.
And he's not alone. Billionaire venture capitalist, member of the Meta or Facebook board, and Conehead cosplayer Mark Andreessen has said the same. On November 18th, President Trump posted this. Quote, "We must have one federal standard instead of a patchwork of 50 state regulatory regimes. If we don't, then China will easily catch us in the AI race," end quote. This post was retweeted by Andreessen, who is allegedly looking out for the little guy. And he said, quote, "The president is right. A 50-state patchwork is a startup killer. Federal AI legislation is essential. There's no bigger issue for little tech," end quote. Now, if you're curious what kind of little tech Meta board member Mark Andreessen supports, we found some examples. Facebook is one of them. In 2016, India's government ruled that Facebook's internet access program, in exchange for Facebook usage, was anti-competitive and illegal. In response, and while serving Facebook's board, he posted a deleted but preserved by NPR tweet, tweeting that India's government was, quote, "morally wrong," end quote, and had committed, quote, "another in a long line of economically suicidal decisions against its own citizens," end quote, followed by a tweet that read, quote, Anti-colonialism has been economically catastrophic for the Indian people for decades. Why stop now? End quote. After backlash, he deleted the tweets and posted, quote, "To be clear, I'm 100% opposed to colonialism," end quote. Which is always a great way to start a sentence. It's right up there with when your crazy uncle at Thanksgiving starts a sentence with, "I'm not racist, but," and "Isn't it crazy that?" Gaffes about colonialism aside, we think that federal deregulation of data center buildouts and AI is disproportionately going to benefit the largest players here, as it'll allow them to recklessly expand and steamroll anybody, but especially the smaller tech companies that are starting up who gets in their way. It also disincentivizes doing the right thing. I think this is pretty important, even for the large companies that do want to do the right thing, if any of them exist, because now they would be at a competitive disadvantage versus their competitors, who are willing to throw all concerns and caution out the window in the name of whatever it is they think they're doing right now by just building data centers all over the planet, like the Death Star or something that's going to have a bunch of things sticking out of it. While big tech gets richer, the federal government keeps going back and forth, so AI development and advances continue largely unabated. We'll look back briefly at some of the policy history for AI just in general. It's still fairly new, at least as an actual like possibility, and the earliest sort of references in its modern form that we could find were during the Obama administration towards the end of it, where then-President Obama, prior to exiting office, had some interviews with Wired. He kind of talked about AI, but it was all purely hypothetical at that time, for the most, as far as the public was concerned anyway. Now, the Biden administration and Trump administration were the first two to actually face something kind of real that they could actually maybe create some kind of ruling on, and they've both decided to handle AI in very different ways. In 2023, President Biden signed an executive order that the executive branch stated was intended to create safeguards around AI development and to mitigate threats. The executive order would have also required companies to provide information to the U.S. government about risks associated with AI. Additionally, the Biden administration proposed the AI diffusion rule in January, which would have tightened GPU export controls in what they said was the name of national security. The second Trump administration rescinded the AI diffusion rule in May of 2025 and has opened up exports of GPUs for NVIDIA CEO and White House ballroom mega donor Jensen Huang. And just to be clear here, because we are getting into like two very different parts of politics and government with these two branches, I'm just going to go on record and say, I really don't think any of these people know what the fuck they're doing with ruling on technology. So just to put that out there, we need people who understand this stuff to create laws about it. But anyway, let's keep going. Delving into the new executive order under Trump, it reads, quote, "It is policy of the United States to sustain and enhance the United States' global AI dominance through a minimally burdensome national policy framework for AI," end quote. This is in stark contrast to the previous administration's stance on the matter, with the current president writing, quote, "I revoked my predecessor's attempt to paralyze this industry and directed my administration to remove barriers to United States AI leadership," end quote. Further, President Trump's executive order reads, quote, "My administration must act with the Congress to ensure that there is a minimally burdensome national standard, not 50 discordant state ones. The resulting framework must forbid state laws that conflict with the policy set forth in this order," end quote. In other words, so much for states' rights. The order continues, quote, "Within 30 days of the date of this order, the Attorney General shall establish an AI litigation task force, aka task force, whose sole responsibility shall be to challenge state AI laws inconsistent with the policy set forth in Section 2 of this order," end quote. Personally, I look forward to the AI litigation task force actually just being a council of 8 different LLMs that all vote on whether the states get federal funding or not, kind of like the thing that PewDiePie built, except in government. The stated reasoning behind the executive order is that regulation at the state level would make AI compliance, quote, "more challenging," end quote, and the White House provided a specific example in which state-by-state AI regulations would, they think, get in the way. Quote, "State laws are increasingly responsible for requiring entities to embed ideological bias within models. For example, a new Colorado law banning, as they call it, algorithmic discrimination may even force AI models to produce false results in order to avoid a, as they call it, differential treatment or impact on protected groups," end quote. Now, first of all, these things already produce false results, so that's not new. And secondly, this is ignoring that they can also be controlled literally individually by individual billionaires. We've seen this where people like Elon Musk will tweet about how they're going in to modify how the AI behaves and what kind of answer the LLM spits out because they didn't like it or it was controversial or whatever, which it doesn't really matter what politics you believe in or which party you hate the least. Consolidating the power of something that is being used as a search engine replacement and is potentially more capable even than what search engines can do into the hands of literal individual billionaires and trillionaire companies that all have incentives to tweak this shit, that we think is concerning, obviously. It is putting a lot of power into the hands of very few people, and it is just, it's very easy for them to abuse that power. The executive order further states that the framework will ensure that, quote, copyrights are respected, end quote, which, let's be real, is just straight up bullshit. We've already pointed out in our coverage of Meta versus book authors that copyright laws are only for trillion-dollar companies, seeing as Meta knowingly torrented and knowingly pirated millions of copyrighted materials to train their LLMs. Then, they got away with it in court as a fair use ruling. And as we said back then, that's at the same time as smaller groups like us get to fight DMCA and copyright strike and copyright claims the old-fashioned way, which is painfully. As for states that attempt to bypass the new executive order, they risk losing federal funding, and this would be done under the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program. Quote, that policy notice must provide the states with onerous AI laws identified pursuant to Section 4 of this order are ineligible for non-deployment funds to the maximum extent allowed by federal law, end quote. Considering the intertwined nature of the megacorporate donors with the federal government when you're looking at companies like Oracle, Meta, OpenAI, Micron, NVIDIA, and so forth, companies like this where they've exchanged in many cases millions upon millions of dollars with different parts of the federal government, that is some mafioso level style intimidation tactics coming from this cartel of AI companies and government now, where it's kind of a nice internet you have in this state, it would be a shame if something happened to it approach. It's not only broadband internet the corporate AI donor-backed administration is threatening. The order also says, quote, executive departments and agencies shall assess their discretionary grant programs in consultation with the special advisor for AI and crypto and determine whether agencies may condition such grants on states either not enacting an AI law that conflicts with the policy of this order, end quote. Now, power is obviously a big concern as well. Normal people need it for trivial, stupid things like heating and lights. But data centers also need it so that they can continue inflating the cost of consumer goods and keeping it out of your hands and building a hardware as a service economy. And so there's obviously a conflict between these two groups where one wants to survive and the other one, well.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I.
Yes?
I don't know. I would.
This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit.
Should
in this.
The human race survive?
But anyway, their power is more important than yours. The administration's vague executive order has a carve-out for states related to AI data center construction, but at the same time, the federal government is accelerating permitting of and reducing regulations for AI data center construction. The bottleneck has become power from any source. About a week prior to the executive order being signed, Jensen Huang said this.
We have to use every form of energy we can. I believe we can't rely on the power grid. We ought to build behind the meter. We obviously need power generation systems. There's no question we should try to encourage and try to accelerate nuclear. We need to have energy growth very, very shortly.
NVIDIA wants to just sell or lease hardware in any state, even if companies buying it or leasing it have a surplus. And in a recent podcast, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said the limiting factor for AI was power, not hardware accessibility, anymore at least. So at this point, as we said in the intro, they have managed to hoover up all of the silicon, and now it's like we're not ready to use it yet, but we're just keeping it here in case we need it at some point. As it's like when a dad finds a perfectly shaped piece of wood and saves it for 25 years. It's kind of like that, except it's just GPUs and memory, and it means you're going to pay like 3.5 times as much for a kit of DDR5 6000 that's 32 gigabytes, so you can look forward to paying $500 for it. But anyway, that's great. We're glad that Microsoft has too many GPUs.
The biggest issue we are now having is not a compute glut, but it's a power. And it's sort of the ability to get the builds done fast enough close to power. So if you can't do that, you may actually have a bunch of chips sitting in inventory that I can't plug in. In fact, that is my problem today, right? It's not a supply issue of chips. It's actually the fact that I don't have warm shells to plug into.
Now, this is actually already happening. Several data centers near the NVIDIA headquarters, even in Santa Clara, California, where land is at a premium and highly occupied, have been built but are non-operational because they're waiting for power from the utility so that it can actually turn on. It could take years, potentially until 2028, for the grid to be able to be prepared for those data centers, which are built, to receive full power and to actually be used for something. So not only are the data center companies gloating, while no one else can afford anything, about how much they have GPUs and memory and silicon components that they can't even use because there's just not enough power for it, they also have more land and infrastructure for the future data centers than they can actually use when people can't afford land and when their infrastructure they use daily is deteriorating. It's as if it's some kind of amusement to them too, or they have this problem of too much silicon, they can't even turn it on because the power's not there yet. And this is ignorant, probably willingly, of the plight of normal people who are getting shafted while companies like Micron boost margin on consumer products to nearly 50% now in order to keep up the pricing and the margin of those consumer products with the data center products, even though the data centers can't even use that hardware right now, which is, again, why you're going to keep paying more for everything, because if they're buying stuff and they can't even use it, how are you supposed to be able to compete with that pricing? It's completely crazy. And so we, in the more normal communities of using electronics or building computers or whatever, in the past video we said it's not about building computers anymore, it's an everyone problem, but all of us are paying for this shit, where this is tech hoarding and real estate hoarding they're doing, which that's been done for a long time now. But the tax breaks they're getting, all of that, it's coming from you in one way or another. Even if you're not in the United States, if you're one of our viewers in Europe or Asia or wherever you might be, even if you're not here, it's still becoming your problem because, I mean, you've seen it. You're paying the same crazy fucking memory prices as those of us in the US. And a lot of that is fueled by this AI rollout and obsession that the mega corporations have right now in all nations, but in particular local here to us. And we're still waiting to see what the federal rules and regulations around AI in this capacity might actually look like. But we're skeptical of what a centralized AI policy built by a geriatric group of dinosaurs in U.S. government, in all branches of government, all parties. This isn't a political party thing. This is like, that's just what we have. While limiting the power for states to create their own regulations and get more people involved, it just doesn't seem like a formula for good things to happen for normal people. This is something where there needs to be as many people involved as possible because it's early and we're still at a stage with the data center rollout and AI obsession where we can get things in place to protect normal people before it's too late. And if we throw that away to have a small council deciding on things, then that council also happens to be funded heavily in the tens of millions of dollars by these same mega corporations that would benefit from rulings that minimize things in their way to bulldozing and steamrolling people's livelihoods, then that is not a recipe for a good outcome for normal people, I think. So companies have managed to convince the federal government to go all in on AI in ways that are irreversible. And regardless of what happens with this bubble or with AI, we're going to end up with these data centers literally in our backyards in many cases, basically no matter what, thousands of them, evidently, from what's being built right now. And the power costs will go up, and that'll probably never come down, even if those data centers end up unused like some of them are right now. Legislators have also been wary of taking away the rights of states for AI regulation. Earlier this year, policymakers tried to impose a 10-year moratorium on AI regulation at the state level in a federal budget bill, but The Senate removed the proposal from the final bill. In our opinion, the lack of federal regulation for AI development up until this point means that companies will continue to recklessly and relentlessly build out AI data centers, acquire as many chips and as much power as possible, and shove AI into every aspect of technology that they can, whether it makes sense or not, whether you use it or not, because they need to create the demand in order to keep the inflated stock prices inflated. We also think tech CEOs are amplifying fears that China will be a leader in the AI space to manipulate the current administration and the government in general to get what the megacorporate CEOs want. This is all for less red tape that gets in the way of making vast sums of money. To quote Markiplier, I think it was unfathomable lots of money, irrespective of the actual technological or humanitarian uses of the product at the end of it. For the Jensens of the world, and actually in particular him, seeing as he panders to China equally as he does to the U.S., because he just cares about one more money and where it comes from, which is everybody, for people like him, we don't even think it's about which country is in the lead. It's just about he wants to sell GPUs to everybody. He doesn't care. But that's not what they're telling the U.S. government. And we're worried that this executive order prioritizes speed and the profitability of the powerful over concerns around AI that relate to job displacement, false information campaigns, lack of privacy, environmental impact, the cleanliness of your water and air and health around that, global surveillance, and more. Google Sundar Pichai recently talked about some of the concerns.
We will have to work through societal disruption. It will evolve and transition certain jobs,
okay, right?
And people will need to adapt. And then there will be areas where it will impact some jobs. So as a society, I think we need to be having those conversations.
And that's what our video today is. It's one of those conversations, because if the CEO of Google, who is privy to near limitless amounts of data and forecasts, is prognosticating that the world is about to be upended by this technology, then executive orders like these are, we think, opening up Pandora's box. And to us, this isn't about, again, party or political affiliation. This is about what is the impact for normal people at the end of all of this that these companies are fueling right now. And it's about trying to not irreversibly damage the fragile fabric that just barely holds so many people's heads above water. And it's not the tech company CEOs who are treading water right now. It's all the normal people. And I think part of this comes from seeing how the internet came up. Early on, there was a lot of skepticism about the internet when it kind of climbed meteorically, and then there was a massive crash. And so there was a period where people were rejecting it sort of outright because of just how ridiculously overbuilt and promised it was. And then it kind of settled out, and the internet seemed pretty good for a little while, and you could play StarCraft Brood War, and then everybody was happy. But the thing is, we've seen where the internet's gone. And where the internet has gone is this sort of late state consolidation of power into the hands of just a few companies at every level, where that could be a few ISPs or internet service providers, a few data center providers, a few social media companies. It's just conglomerates at every stage of the internet. And this has led to an easily manipulated internet, and one where social media in particular has become this sort of dangerous weapon that can be utilized. And so I think for me, part of it is looking back and see like, okay, well, there was a lot of skepticism about the internet. And so certainly if at the beginning you were like, the internet's never going to amount to anything good, you would ultimately be wrong. But you might have had a point up through some part of that, where if we look at it now, sort of 25 years or so after that big crash, maybe some of those people had a point about having some more safeties in place earlier. It just took a long time for everything to sort of fully manifest where we are today and see the results of how it turned out. So anyway, I think that's where we're at with AI and data centers. It's dangerous. It's a reckless expansion. There's thousands of them being built just in the U.S. alone. And whether or not it's there now, you're going to hear about these things in your backyard. We have hundreds of emails from you all in our audience telling us about data centers to investigate, and we're working on it. We've got a big documentary coming up on that. But anyway, that's it for this one. That's some of the rules at the executive level and that the big companies are pushing for. Keep you updated on it. And subscribe for more. Go to store.cameransaccess.net. Check out the solder mats and project mats if you want something to work on. They are super high quality, durable, thick work surfaces, and helps us directly. Thanks for watching. We'll see you all next time.